Getting 194 countries to agree a new climate deal was never going to be easy, especially when some of them rely heavily on fossil fuel production for their wealth and economic prosperity. But after marathon talks, a deal was reached at the COP30 summit in Brazil on Saturday morning, although not the deal that many had hoped for. A proposed commitment to transition away from fossil fuels never made it into the final agreement. Neither did a plan to stop deforestation. Delegates did agree to increase financial supports for poorer nations dealing with climate change. Well, we're joined in our studio now by Lisa Ryan, Professor of Energy Economics at the UCD School of Economics and Energy Institute. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your assessment of what was achieved in Brazil over the weekend, achieved or not achieved?
Well, I think we've been here before. It feels like we're saying that, you know, it's great that we've got 194 countries together. They're still willing to work together on a multilateral mechanism. It is disappointing that we haven't gone as far as we are expecting. This was meant to be the implementation COP. In other words, we weren't expecting maybe new targets, you know, of emissions reductions. However, implementation means developing some mechanisms to try and plot out a roadmap to how we would get to previously decided targets. So from that expected, as you mentioned in your interview, your introduction, we haven't agreed that the mechanisms, the roadmaps for deforestation and for fossil fuel phase out weren't agreed. So that is very disappointing. However, I think there are, as usual, still some points that we would think are quite hopeful. The roadmap for phase out of fossil fuels, although it was not put into the text, there is a voluntary agreement there. And, you know, Brazil seems very keen to lead this. And 80 countries have signed up to meet in the next year to work on that together in advance of the next COP.
It's not in the final deal, though. And Ireland did sign the final deal. The EU accepted the final text of the text of the final deal, despite it failing to address, I suppose, what is the core cause of climate change, which is the burning of fossil fuels. Would it have sent a stronger signal if the EU had not signed that deal?
Well, the EU held out for about 24 hours and there was worry that there would be no deal done at all if the EU didn't sign it. So, you know, you can argue this both ways, of course, but probably it seems that the fossil fuel nations, and there were about 10 to 20 countries who were completely implacable. They were not going to sign the deal. The deal would not happen if that was those wordings were put into it. So if the EU had continued to block it, which they were doing for a while because they thought that they would be able to reach some compromise, and the chances are that everything would have fallen apart. So I think within the EU, there was a lot of discussion. That's the way it works in the EU. We have to work as a bloc. So Ireland really couldn't act in a unilateral way, and it wouldn't really have made sense to do so. It would have weakened the EU's position if they hadn't all acted
but
together.
But was this just a case of signing that deal to preserve the process so that you would keep all of the countries together and in the hope of being able to negotiate a deal at a later stage? I mean, you know, was this just about trying to keep consensus?
Well, it certainly was, but that's not a small thing either. In this world, I think what we've seen at the COP this year is a reflection of global, you know, polarization and geopolitical polarization. I think the fact that the US didn't send a delegate, for example, and the fact that the President of the United States is very much in favor of fossil fuels, that has given kind of a boldness to those fossil fuel countries that perhaps in like 2 years ago in Dubai, when COP28, they agreed that they would phase out fossil fuels. Probably they were a little bit more in the back foot then. But now there's a changing geopolitical situation. It has given them more power, perhaps, and the EU a little bit less so. And so the EU are trying to make sure that consensus does remain together. And I suppose there were some good elements in this deal. For example, the Belem mechanism that is for the just transition. And that is a new element that
that's
many
the finance entries, deal.
No, this is the one for it's to work on a social just transition. And this will make give civil society and countries that are poor that are going to negotiate now. How can we? I mean, it is related to finance, of course, but to make sure that there are not just losers in these COP agreements, which has been perceived in the past.
Limiting climate change to 1.5 degrees. Is that gone now?
Well, it is for the moment, I think. I think the you know, we have made improvements. When the COP process started, we, you know, we were looking at, we were going to be 4 degrees above our you know, the counterfactual. Now the estimate is that we're going to be about 2.7 degrees. So there have been emissions cuts that have brought down our, you know, that global warming. But 1.5 degrees, I think most commentators would, and scientists more importantly, would agree that we are past that. However, you know, this means, though, that we can, we in the future, we will have to reduce our emissions and even have sort of removal mechanisms, so we can get back to 1.5 in the beginning. So it's not that all is lost. We just have to continue.
Lisa Ryan, Professor of Energy Economics at UCD, thank you very much. We'll hear from former President Mary Robinson later in the programme. The time is 18 minutes past 7.